What a joy it is to hear again this well-worn and beloved account of Christ's birth from the Gospel of Luke. When I was growing up, one of my family's Christmas Eve traditions was for my dad to read Luke's birth narrative from the King James Version right before bed, along with 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And when my dad died, the responsibility for carrying on that tradition fell to me. And I still hear those old English words from the King James Version in my head whenever I read this story. I think for many folks, myself included, Luke's account of the birth of Christ is sort of the prototypical account. With the census and the travel to Bethlehem and the no room at the inn and the swaddling clothes and the manger and the angels and the shepherds, there's a reason that we read it on this night. In my mind, I've always pictured this sort of pastoral scene, kind of like the ones we see represented in art and nativity scenes. It's a clear, cold night out in a field somewhere, and Mary, who is doing surprisingly well immediately postpartum, and Joseph and some shepherds and some friendly and surprisingly clean livestock, gazing lovingly and reverently at this baby who's lying in some surprisingly clean straw. It's a really beautiful image. But when I read Luke's story again a week or so ago, I was struck by something that in 43 years of either hearing or reading the story, I had never really noticed. The real heroes of this story are some pretty underdog outsider characters. We have this poor laborer and his fiancée who's pregnant under some pretty dubious circumstances. We have a bunch of shepherds who are basically homeless nomads at the bottom of the social ladder. And all of these people are just going about their business, doing what society and the empire would have them to do. And into their midst comes the Messiah. Into their midst comes the glory of God shining all around them. Into their midst comes a heavenly host of angels saying, "To you has been born this day in the city of David a Savior." When I noticed that all of the people who experienced the birth of Jesus firsthand were poor folks who didn't have a place to live or even lodging for the night, I started to think about the specificity with which the angel says that a Savior has been born. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you has been born this day a Savior, the Messiah. To you. And the shepherds received this news as being specifically for them. Let us go and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. And so these homeless nomads go and they find this poor, unmarried couple crowded in amongst the livestock with their newborn baby lying in a feed trough. And something in them says, yes, it all makes sense. This is the one that the angel told us about. He's one of us. Of course he is. This child, this baby in this barn is the promised one. He is the Messiah. And the text says that the people who heard them were amazed. Amongst the machinations of empire, which was requiring that all the people go to be registered and numbered, so that they could be better controlled and taxed. A Savior, the Messiah, had been born, and he was one of them. Of course he was. The person who was going to demolish the existing order and break down the systems of oppression and set the people free to live the lives that they had been created to live could never be a member of the ruling class. They could never be just another version of Caesar Augustus. They had to be the exact opposite. And that's the scandal of Christmas. God chose to become incarnate as the child of a poor laborer and his fiancée. And the first people who were told about it were homeless nomads. The scandal of Christmas is that God is born quietly, without fanfare, amidst the goings-on of everyday life, and is laid in a manger, which is the starting point for a journey that ends on a cross. The scandal of Christmas is that the first thing that God does after Jesus is born is to send a heavenly host in all of its glory to a few shepherds to say, "To you is born a Savior. To you is born a Messiah." The circumstances of Jesus' birth and the fact that the first people to receive a birth announcement were poor shepherds tells us everything we need to know about what kind of king Jesus was intended to be. Of all the ways that God could have chosen to become incarnate in the world, the splendor and the power and the glory with which God could have announced God's presence, God chose to slip unobtrusively into the world in the middle of the night, in a small town far from the seats of power and privilege, to parents who were just following the orders of the empire. Of all the honor and tribute that God could have demanded from the rich and powerful of the world, God invited poor shepherds to be the first to witness the miracle that had taken place. By coming into the world in this way, God announced God's solidarity with the poor and the oppressed, and the people whose day-to-day lives are controlled and dictated by the whims of the empire. It's among the impoverished that God chooses to be born and to grow up and to eat and to breathe and to live. It's among the broken and the oppressed that God does God's work. And so what then does the scandal of Christmas mean for us? What does it mean for us sitting here at 10:30 or so at night over 2,000 years later? That when God chose to come into the world to live among us, God slipped in quietly among the poor and the despised and the downtrodden. What does it mean for us that beginning with His very birth and throughout His entire earthly life, God incarnate lived and worked and ate and drank and socialized with those very same poor, despised, and downtrodden people? Is the good news that the angels proclaim really even meant for us? Of course it is. Of course it is. Does God have a preference for the poor and the downtrodden? Absolutely. And as followers of Jesus, we should too. There's no question. But we all have places of poverty in our lives. We all have places in our lives that are controlled and dominated by the forces of a worldly empire that seeks to manipulate us and use us and turn us into just a number. And it's into those places that Jesus slips quietly and unobtrusively in the middle of the night. It's into those impoverished places in our lives that Jesus comes and seeks to dwell and to grow and to work. Jesus wasn't born to affirm all the things that we're doing right. He was born to set right all the things that seem so irreparably broken. The scandal of Christmas means that there is good news of great joy for us in the places in our lives where we least expect it and where we think we least deserve it. To you is born this night a Savior. To you is born a Messiah. A Messiah who seeks to make our broken places whole and to lift us up out of whatever poverty in which we find ourselves. A Messiah who knows what it's like to struggle and to doubt and to get angry and to grieve. A Messiah who is sent specifically for each one of us. So now go, and with the shepherds, make known what has been told to you about this child, so that all who hear may be amazed. Merry Christmas. Amen.